The Takeaway is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So in some ways, this moment on NBC's Today Show was a worst-case scenario for doctors and public health professionals. Here's Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann speaking this week to Matt Lauer.
Well, I will tell you that I had a mother last night come up to me here in Tampa, Florida, after the debate. She told me that her little daughter took that vaccine, that injection, and she suffered from mental retardation thereafter. It can have very dangerous side effects.
Bachmann is talking about the vaccine for HPV given to potentially sexually active teenage girls to prevent a form of cancer. It's something GOP frontrunner Rick Perry has supported, but has become something of a bullseye in the so-called family values debate in the presidential campaign. Now, this claim that a woman's daughter became mentally retarded after getting the vaccine has taken the debate to a whole new level, which is why we asked Art Kaplan back on the show. He's a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
So I listened to one of your colleagues speaking last night on All Things Considered. He talked about this $1,000 reward for someone who can submit data for peer review to support this mental retardation claim. I gather you are one of a couple of professors offering to up that by about $10,000.
Well, I told Steve, who's a former colleague of mine at the University of Minnesota, I said, I'm going to go for 10 on top of your one. And what I want to know is, can Michelle Bachmann deliver this person? Is there a case out there, factually, of someone becoming, in her words, retarded, not my words, as a result of getting the HPV vaccine? I don't believe it. I think it's impossible that that happened. And I think we have to really be willing to call out an untruth in a crucial area like vaccines.
Let's talk about the two big issues in this debate here. Number one, there's the idea that people are going to make decisions on the basis of a rumor, which is, I gather, why you've put up this money and your colleagues have as well. But there's also the sort of sexual controversy over the HPV vaccine that inflames and really makes this a target for presidential candidates. Explain.
Well, that's right, John. The vaccine basically prevents you or a man or woman from getting infected with the virus. If you have the virus already, if you've been infected, the vaccine won't do you any good. The way you get the virus is through sexual transmission. And 99.9% of cervical cancers are caused by sexual transmission of this virus. That means you have to get ahead of sexual activity in giving the vaccine. And that means asking two questions. One is, when do people become sexually active, which is controversial? And two, why do people become sexually active if we, in fact, tell teenagers and young people not to have sex? It's the old abstinence debate, and that's lurking around in the background because this vaccine is preventing a sexually transmitted form of cancer.
Art, in medical ethics, when you're dealing with preventive measures, a rumor or a piece of information that causes huge numbers of people in the population to change their decision. Explain how that has big medical impacts.
Well, there are 4,000 women who die each year in the U.S. from cervical cancer. Probably another 12,000 or so have to have major surgery, often leaving them infertile because they have to take out reproductive organs because of that cancer. Worldwide, John, 450,000 women die each year from cervical cancer. If you spread fear, if you're a rumor monger, if you're acting out of ignorance as a political leader and telling people, ooh, you know, that vaccine can make your daughter cognitively impaired, you're going to scare people away from vaccines. And we've seen it with this autism rumor and phobia with respect to measles, mumps, and rubella. We've got dead kids in Minnesota, California, all around the United States from preventable measles. You don't want to have preventable cases by the thousands and hundreds of thousands worldwide because of irresponsible fear-mongering. And, you know, we've put up with it for too long. You've got to step forward and say, time to let the facts guide policy about vaccines. They're the most important tool we have. And when you hear a Bachman-type comment, I get furious because it's basically letting ignorance kill women.
We're speaking with Art Kaplan, who's a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. But, you know, to a certain extent, Art, we've gotten responses from advisors on her campaign, and they say she's an emotional person. She gets affected by the stories of those she hears around her. And to a certain extent, she reflects a lot of people around the country that sometimes people feel as though there's so much changeability in medical information mm-hmm. and in studies that they do just believe the last thing that they heard, that they're not entirely sure where the bottom line is.
So I would say if you want to be president, we might ask you to do more than just believe the last thing you heard or the latest story that someone comes up and tells you. I mean, if I came up and said, you know, I was abducted by aliens and they attacked me, and I'd like to know, Michelle, what you're going to do about that because it was a terrible experience for me. Is she going to institute a government policy to try and figure out what to do about alien UFOs? You know, you can't.
Hey, Art, if you look at the poll numbers on alien abduction, you'd be kind of scared. Yeah, you'd be kind of scared to go down that road, buddy. You know, Ron Paul has been critical of the HPV vaccine, and he's a medical doctor. What's going on there?
I think he also is in the camp that says we don't want the government getting involved in telling people what they have to do with regard to vaccination. His libertarianism is kind of overwhelming his medical understanding of what's going on with disease. And let me make clear, even when Rick Perry said in 2007, I'm going to order this vaccine, that women, young women in Texas get it, there was always an opt-out of that. No one has ever proposed in the United States that the vaccine police will knock on your door and drag your daughters out and vaccinate them. You can still refuse. You can still opt out. It's just a presumption that the default will be that we'll vaccinate people. So, you know, this kind of I don't want no government vaccine kind of ethos, I think also is just inappropriate when the public is asked to support vaccine policy.
Let's finish with your colleague Steve Miles, who said on All Things Considered last night, if this was not about sexually active girls but was a treatment that could potentially prevent 10,000 cancer deaths, there would be no debate. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think the sexuality angle and even the female angle gets people talking about this in a way that they wouldn't otherwise.
All right, Art Kaplan, professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks, as always, Art.
My pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.